gonna blow yourself up.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Tactical Buffaloes. Usually I don't do the intros because Matt's here, but Matt's a faggot, so he's not here. We got some very special guests with us, though. How about you two introduce yourselves?
I guess it's Mikey.
Yeah, all right. Well, my name is Anthony Elder. I was one of the Odessa 6 that were arrested. You know, what was it? Whenever that happened, I don't remember the days. This whole week has been a blur, but just one of the patriots trying to stand up for small businesses and everyone else's rights. But apparently that local sheriff's department didn't want that to happen.
That's all right. They're faggots.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm O'Brien. I was also there, so.
That's enough said.
Well, all right. I guess we'll just hop into some questions. We were talking a little bit before. What's it like in jail?
I should not have had that much fun.
It was definitely fun when we were all together, that's for sure. I mean, my cheeks were hurting by the time we were getting out because just from all the laughing that we were doing, it was great.
Jail probably sucks when you committed a crime, but we didn't. So, I mean, we had a pretty solid time.
Yeah. It was, we were all joking around. We were laughing at each other, telling each other jokes. And that's probably where the famous mugshots of all of us smiling is because, you know, we can't stop fucking with each other. So when it comes time to take our mugshots, they're yelling through the glass at shit at us. And, you know, they're taunting us, and we can't not laugh. So in my picture specifically, I'm trying not to laugh, and I lose it. So yeah I was smiling, but
well, that's good.
Yeah. What the fuck happened to 7:30?
Listen, there was a lot of uncoordinated judgments.
Like, what do you mean uncoordinated? I said 7:30.
You said 7. Welcome, Sassy. Sassy, these are your guests. In all actuality, I asked them one question. Now it's your turn.
I don't have my sheet.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, get your sheet together, man.
Well, I guess that's it. Thanks for coming on, guys.
I mean, I see fucking bots in here. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have we not done anything?
So this is a little bit behind the scenes of how the Tactical Buffaloes podcast is made.
Oh, they've seen so much of it. We don't edit it out, so.
Have we already done an intro?
Yeah, I said, hey, if you want to do it again, you can. I'm not great at it.
I got a question. So when they fucking pulled up with the MRAP, what was going through y'all's head? So
for me, they're like, everybody with a weapon, put your hands up. And I took a second, and I was like, all right, everybody's to my right. So I look over, I see what they're doing. I'm like, all right, so that's how we're going to play this. And I put my hands up.
Okay, that leads me into a very important question. What was your guys' first immediate rational response? Was it, I'm going to be in a firefight, or I'm going to surrender?
So I want to say that all of us in our minds is that when we showed up there, we knew police were coming. We were just going to stand there shoulder to shoulder, let police talk to us, and we were going to tell them why we were there. And that was the idea of what was supposed to happen. When they showed up with the MRAP, it was like, okay, they're going to play it like this. And, you know, I'm still standing there. I'm, you know, still got my arms to my side, whatever. And, you know, as they come up, they start barking orders, put our hands in the air. My thought is that I'm standing there and I am actually almost behind the engine block of a car. And I have a plate carrier on level 4s. I probably would have, you know, been able to withstand the first couple volleys of fire. But the guys to the left of me, including O'Brien, out in the open.
In the open with a chest rig.
Yeah, you're out in the open, no plate carrier, little to no meds. I knew that if I decided to grab my gun or do anything stupid, that turret gunner would have lit them the fuck up. So, you know, I figured me doing that would have been their death. So I could not put myself forward to that.
For me...
If you would have tried anything, it wouldn't have been it wouldn't have lasted very long.
Absolutely. We went there, we would have preferred, and we were 100% willing to have a handful of fucking officers come up, talk to us like human fucking beings.
Absolutely.
But they want to have their little fucking power trip. Mm-hmm. So,
As they do.
It's all about, we didn't go there for violence.
No.
It was about
peace. We never have.
And getting awareness, pretty much. So, fucking full compliance. Let them fuck themselves. We don't have to fuck them. They're going to do it.
And my friend, you have done exactly that. Not only has the world perceived Odessa law enforcement as the bad guys in this situation, but you guys are alive and have furthered our ideologies. So thank you very much.
Hey, Logan, it's not just Odessa. It's Texas-wide.
Oh, it's Texas-wide too? Shit.
Fucking ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Like 2 years ago, they had a bunch of cops who I don't remember who they were chasing or why, but they lit them up with fucking ARs and they killed a kid in the trailer behind it because they can't even do a fucking background check on their target.
That was here in Amarillo, actually.
Oh shit, that's Amarillo.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about a separate event here in Selma.
Oh, okay, because we had something just like that where the state troopers were checking if they could get permission to fire on this pursuit. They got denied, they shot anyway, and fucking, it was a shit show.
I'm not surprised to hear fucking Texas Department of Public Safety is stupid. Holy.
That was the other thing, is that because of where we were in front of mobile homes, right? And we don't know who's in those buildings. If, you know, we caused the sheriff department to open fire, that would have been their lives at risk.
Yeah, fucking retards don't know. Any targets and beyond.
Yeah.
And there was a main fire out behind the sheriff's. So if we started firing, that's going to put civilians in danger, and that's not what we're about.
Absolutely. You're responsible for every shot you take.
Exactly. Every target and beyond. So
the cops are, but you are.
Well, yeah, the cops don't fucking know. They're hired thugs. They're retards, truly. So thank you guys for having some brains. And truly, you have painted the movement as not a terrorist organization. Whereas the entire media is calling us right wing, like fascists. So
yeah, I don't understand that. They're like, "Oh, right wing. I'm an anarchist. I don't want anything."
I'm an anarchist. Exactly. I don't fucking want anything.
The only fucking wing I want is a fucking buffalo wing.
Straight up, right?
Like that's the only thing I want.
We're pretty much dead opposite of fascism.
The thing is this isn't about Republican versus Democrat anymore. It's about freedom versus tyranny.
Yeah.
It's the political caste versus everyone else. And
absolutely.
It's not even political necessarily. It's your Hollywood exec. It's just anyone with billions of dollars and significant sway.
Power. Yeah.
I consider them part of the political caste, but I guess you're
right. Level is unacceptable.
No, that's fair.
Which one is Eagle?
Yeah, so which one is that? It's one of our boys, but I don't know.
Oh shit, we got another boy on. Welcome. Banner.
Which one?
Banner. Alex.
Ah, Alex. All right. Yeah, Brian's friend.
Introduce yourself.
Alexander Banner. I was arrested in Odessa for same thing everyone else was.
No reason, exactly.
So, what charges are they trying to lay on you guys?
Weapons in places prohibited is how they worded it.
Yeah, they said unlawful carry of a weapon in a licensed premises.
Okay. Is that something? So it wasn't the 51% law?
Oh, they're pretty much combining the Texas Penal Code 46.035. They're combining that with the TABC licensing rules of 11.49. So the Texas Penal Code about the 51% rule says that you cannot bring a weapon or firearm into a bar that sells more than 51% of makes 51% or more of their sales in alcohol. So you know, it's a bar, that's all they sell is alcohol. So of course they sell a bunch of alcohol. Basically, you can't carry firearms into that area where alcohol is consumed. So that is inside the building and a portion of the building, like the area that was roped off outside that in some videos you'll see it's like a red caution tape. That's where, you know, drinking is allowed inside that area and inside the building. We were never in those areas.
I was about to say, weren't you in the parking lot on private property?
We were not in the parking lot.
It's still owned by the bar, though, isn't it?
It is owned by the same owner. And it's licensed under the TABC because it's an adjacent property that is still under the same owner. But the point is even if, you know, I took my rifle, and I went right up to the threshold of the door, never stepping a foot in, I would still legally be in the right. So the way they did things and the charges that they pressed on us are illegal in every shape and
form. See, whereas I never carried or laid my hands on a weapon on any part of any fucking licensed premises at all.
Right, because you actually parked in the back. I remember because that's where your car was the day after when you had to pick up your car. Your car is actually in the private property area, so exactly. There's no way.
So they fucked up. They did a lot of stuff.
In every shape and form.
Sounds like a good lawyer could really take care of you guys.
Oh, easily. If you guys need help raising lawyers, we will get GoFundMes going. I think there's already a few going, isn't there?
There is a GoFundMe for the group that Philip Archibald has started. I don't know how well that's going. I'm not depending on that any shape or form. There's 4,000, you know, split between six guys that are fighting these kind of felony legal charges.
There were seven of us.
Was seven of us arrested, though, for felony charges? Because
One was a misdemeanor.
No, there were seven arrested for felonies.
I keep hearing one was six. Fine.
Yeah, because everyone forgets me because none of the press are fucking including me.
Huh. I don't know, man. I mean, I keep seeing the mugshot. Single
piece of news.
I see the mugshots, and it's like the eight of us. Where one guy got arrested for disrupting the peace, and then we talked to that guy, and then there was the bar owner who said that eight people were arrested that day. So
there were nine. It was you, Wyatt, me, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse Simrad. That guy's a Chad. he's cool as shit.
Jesse, then was it Brandon?
Braden or something like that. Braden Bernie.
Something like that.
There were people that were arrested for felonies.
There were seven people six arrested felony for arrests.
There were six felonies. Dude, there were six.
Yeah, I keep seeing six everywhere. Because there's eight arrested total.
Excluding yours because yours was taken. Dude, there was five mugshots, excluding yours because yours was taken after, and then there was a bar owner and the dude who like was obstructing, air quotes. That's it.
And Philip and Pretty Boy aren't in the mugshots either.
Philip and his brother were not carrying weapons at the time because they were doing press. They were recording. So they were inside the bar premises.
Or not Philip.
his brother.
Jesse.
I just gave you the answer.
Jesse and Pretty Boy.
Huh. Yeah. Point is, there were people that were arrested for felonies. There's a group of us, and then there is two other people that were at the bar that were arrested for misdemeanors.
Okay.
The specifics of it, whatever. We can look back at that, but... You know, that's the thing, is that... According to all the news, there's six of us that were arrested for felonies, and there was, was it the one person that literally all they did was ask the cops, hey, why are you doing this? What are you doing? You know, he dared question the officer's actions, and they arrested him for it.
Oh.
Charged him with obstructing peace, or obstructing justice.
Not getting in the way of the royal decree, can we?
Fuck. The crown is fucked, bro.
Mm-hmm. Especially Odessa, and we specifically, you know, we talked to the officers here and there, like, hey, do you agree with what's going on? You know, we explained the 51% rule, say, you know, we shouldn't be here, we're not criminals, we're for the most part law-abiding citizens. If you want to count in traffic violations, my bad, but you know, the thing is that, you know, we're good, upstanding citizens. We're patriots. We care about this country. We're not hardened criminals. There was a lady that we talked to and, you know, explained the 51% rule, and all she could say was, well, welcome to Odessa.
Yeah, we heard that multiple times.
Welcome to Odessa. So it's kind of a legacy of...
That's just how they run things. They're going to do whatever they want with no obstruction whatsoever and no checks and balances.
Well, I'd say my wrong.
That's kind of hard to do when the nation's looking.
Exactly.
The nation, the whole nation's looking.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys are saying. You guys are saying, welcome to Odessa. I live in South Texas, but a lot of people that are going to be listening don't live in Texas. Can you explain what they mean by welcome to Odessa?
So, from what it sounds like, is that that's their town. They're going to run it the way they're going to run it. And, you know, we can't say otherwise.
Kind of like a Rambo situation going on.
I mean, yeah, it's just their town, and yeah.
From people with different backgrounds, is the law enforcement in Odessa is going to do what it is that they want to do, and if you don't have the money to fight them, then you're just going to have to eat a dick on it.
Yeah, we've had word from multiple inmates and stuff saying that they were charged with the wrong charges, or officers would tell them things that aren't actually illegal, like one specifically said that having a Glock magazine that holds 30 bullets was illegal in Texas. And no.
What?
So I see a lot of malpractice, negligence, entrapment. Ooh, this place is corrupt as fuck.
I've also had that confirmed from people within law enforcement outside of Ector County.
Wow.
Multiple different agencies big. As well.
Can we initiate a siege on Odessa?
Not officially yet.
Not yet. That is allegedly. Allegedly.
In Minecraft.
Allegedly. In Minecraft. In Call of Duty.
In Call of Duty. Yes. Jesus. Still attending investigation, guys. Calm down.
true. These men are still under investigation. And we are pacifists. I'm a pacifist. I'm an agorist. So I do not advocate for violence against the state unless initiated against you, which they did initiate against you.
Okay.
It was definitely initiated.
Under the perception of the nepotistic media, of course, and their slanders against us, they did the right move. In all honesty, these men are now a facade for our movement. A good one. Not the fucking guy who went out trying to kill cops high on shrooms.
Fucking yeah!
Fuck that guy! Fucking Texarkana.
Mm-hmm.
Texarkana.
I mean the Texarkana guy, the Boogaloo Clyde guy. You know, those kind of situations is where someone went trying to commit violence, and they made the movement of I guess you could say Boogaloo or Liberty or whatever you want to call it. They made those guys look bad. You know? So to have a bunch of guys go up there and still say that they're going to do the right thing no matter what, you know, that makes it look good.
Texas the thing that Colorado are popping off, and I'm over here. In
yeah, they are.
Oklahoma, and
my boys in Colorado. We're talking to some of them. They haven't been arrested, but they were going to be arrested.
Well, yeah. Oklahoma had their shit this year. They got Tiger King. Give this one to us.
Okay. Okay, but like, come on. Like we had Tiger King in
literally everybody in Oklahoma is like that.
What do you mean?
Scary facts. Have you
not gonna lie, I lived in Oklahoma for a little bit, and it seemed like all there was to do was drink and meth. So I don't know.
Shame. Shame.
Oh wait, casinos.
Casinos. And
why do you drink and do drugs?
That's funny.
No, but I'm your homie from upstate. You can't just diss me like that.
Not
if anybody gets to what's going on. Texas.
All hours.
What do you mean you're letting me know what's going on? I've
we'll set aside the state differences for tonight, man. You know, we gotta stay on topic, I guess, right?
Well, if anybody else fucks you, let me know.
It's only the Tactical Buffaloes podcast. We're known for going off topic.
Oh, okay.
We do go off topic. I have ADHD,
so I'm used to that.
It's all right.
It sounds like we covered the first fucking question I had in my cliff notes. My second one was, how do you guys respond to a lot of the accelerationists that are calling you guys cowards for surrendering to law enforcement?
Well, I mean, if they want to be accelerationists, why don't they show up and do a rally themselves and, you know, whatever. Like, the thing is, they probably have never gotten out and done what we're doing. They've probably never gotten off the couch.
Fucking Harpers.
Yeah. Accelerationists have already been tried, though. That's the thing is, we've talked about these quote-unquote accelerationists.
Yeah, Boogaloo Clyde, Texarkana guy, you know, whatever. Those are what accelerationists look like.
They are, and there's no, they there's no pragmatic basis. Every time they've done it, it has resulted in the same outcome. Logically speaking, it is not. It's not a viable reason. It's not a viable action. So
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I believe in liberty for everybody, and the action of taking somebody else's life when you're not defending your own is a form of tyranny, and I don't support that.
Yeah, that's you almost are, like terrorism, and that's not what we're like.
No, we are not terrorists. We are people who just advocate for the natural innate freedoms of man. I
mean, we can be if they initiate.
Well, if they initiate.
You know, if we declare war, that's one thing, but... You know, you look back to all the way back to the Revolution. The men at Lexington and Concord, they didn't go around just randomly attacking redcoats. They didn't go around randomly killing, you know, what were basically the back in the day police officers. They didn't do that. What they did is they stood their ground. They all stood shoulder to shoulder, and they said, "Y'all aren't going to come take our weapons." And the redcoats, they tried, but that's where you get your first shots. Is they were simply defending their property and their values.
It was, and that's the parts of history that we like to remember, because there were the we'll call them like the paleo accelerationists, because
of course they existed. You had people, you know, tar feathering taxpayer, you know, tax collectors and stuff, but you know, the movement didn't start in those areas. It started. The war started when people got together and they defended themselves, and that's how it goes down.
Yes. And I think it is it's a good reason, you know, they did it the right way, and you guys are doing it the right way too, even though there's no war.
No, hopefully it never comes down to that.
No war then.
We don't want war. Boogaloo, it's the worst event that could happen. Truly,
yeah.
Like
hey, we can't call it the Boogaloo anymore. It's called the Freedom Struggle.
Oh yes,
you know, I have been trying to personally get away from using the term Boogaloo, just because everyone has gotten to a point where, oh, it's just a meme, it'll never happen, no one actually wants this, and it's like, okay, yeah, I get that, no one actually wants to go out and start violence.
Good.
So what I've been calling it is, you know, something along the lines of a liberty movement. We're trying to progress or push the ideals of liberty and let people know that they don't have the freedoms they think they have.
So We used like the term Boogaloo as a shock factor to get it in people's minds, and now that we're past that point, we can start progressing the movement and be professional about this.
Absolutely.
We have caught their attention. I mean, now it's time to
A lot of people were brought in for because of the Boogaloo memes, and for a lot of people, that's been their only exposure to the community, so that's all they really know and care to believe.
Yeah, it becomes an echo chamber.
Yeah. You have people like Seaburn who are trying to step away from it, and they just get and you just get nothing but fucking flack and resistance from people who got brought in by the Boogaloo.
It's true. When I posted,
people are just angry.
They are, but I think it's good if we lose those people. In all honesty, like when I posted get fucked Odessa law enforcement and then posted all their mugshots, I lost like 12 followers, like in a few hours. And
I will tell you, my follower count has like doubled or tripled ever since this event happened. So, I mean, it doesn't say much. I think I had like 100 to 200 followers beforehand. But, you know, point is, you know, I started, you know, sharing with people, started commenting on the memes like, hey, yeah, that was me. I was there. And, you know, people were like, oh, yeah, we gotta check you out, support you, and check out the GoFundMe and stuff. So I don't regret any of my decisions for that day, and
you should have.
I am actually shocked to see the amount of support we have had from the world and even from the Boogaloo community, because I would say it's about 10% of people are like, oh, they should have shot, oh, they should have taken out as many cops as possible, or oh, you know, if you're gonna bring weapons, why don't you use them? So that has been the minority of the community. Most of it has been like, hey, those guys did the right thing. They got the attention that the liberty movement needs and exposed Odessa for the way they are.
And it's true. And in all honesty, when I got in the community, probably like a year and a half ago, I'd say it was more like 80% was definitely ready for violence. And
I can see that.
The intellectual evolution of our ideology is.
When I first found out about it, I was like, fuck y'all, I don't believe in shit. I'm here for the violence. And then I started reading up on what people were talking about, and I was like, shit, you can actually, like, be free?
Yeah.
You don't need a nanny state? That's wild. And now here I am.
Yes, sir. Just take some education.
The point of the Boogaloo movement has always been securing our freedoms, has always been escaping tyranny. And so the first thing you think of is, oh, if there's something attacking you, you got to kill it. You got to get rid of it. So that's the first initial primal thought. As the Boogaloo movement has progressed, there has been more and more people speaking out, hey, you know, we need to do this in the most peaceful way possible. You have people like Trigger Confucius who will say, no, don't start with the violent. Be as peaceful as possible. Use the government, fight the government. As impossible as it seems, as long as we try. That's all we can do.
You guys, I mean, the whole situation, you guys even had some fucking MAGA cultists questioning law enforcement.
Really?
Yeah, that says a lot.
That's the level. Yeah, that's the level of the effect that had. Like, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, fucking great. You know, here we go, another event. But, I mean, it really kind of turned out on a positive note because you guys even had Republicans questioning law enforcement.
I mean, I've had people in my life that have been hardcore statists since I was born, and after this event, they're like, damn, well, I mean, at first I was like, it's your fault. The cops could never do wrong, but that's kind of fucked up now that you think about it. And it's a big step. It's those baby steps that get this going.
Oh, man, I got to mention that. Do you remember that one lady in jail, with the black hair? She was kind of like, if anybody talked to her, she would snap at him.
Oh yeah.
It's like she was like, I would almost say she was compensating for being a woman in a prison, and like, I totally get that, you know, you got to put on a tough face.
I remember ass, though.
But she was definitely cute, but the thing is that, you know, well, she was talking to you and said, do you regret what you did, or did you learn anything? And of course I was like, no, you know, we have no regrets, and would we do it again? Of course we would. And it was like, we did nothing wrong. And I told her that. She said, well, if you did nothing wrong, you wouldn't. That's the attitude they have. Black and white. You know, criminals are on the inside. Good people are on the outside. And if you're in jail, you have to be a criminal, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, as if innocent people haven't been charged or convicted of crime.
I met some of the nicest people I've met all year while I was in there, and I was only in there for a day.
Yeah. The inmates were great. They treated us like we were movie stars and celebrities because they saw us all over the midnight and 5 o'clock news.
I just want to give a shout out to Train in the 4000 block.
Train is fucking amazing. Oh my god. He is a badass.
We're so good at badass.
he's like this 50, 60 year old man walking around like so this big buff black dude. And he's the nicest guy I've ever met.
I truly do believe that. Especially since incarceration rates, over half are for victimless crimes. So,
yeah. There's plenty of people in there that were like, oh man, I got busted with so many ounces of cocaine or so many ounces of weed, and I had a gun on me for my self-protection, and you know, it's shit like that. They never hurt anybody, but they still got locked up for way too many years. Oh, yeah. I'm talking tens. You know, this one guy said he was in there for 40 years because of how much drugs he had on him, whereas murderers get like 5 to 10 years. It's awful.
Yeah, it is pitiful. But I also do see a conversion away from the support of the drug war in most people. Most people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as marijuana has become more normalized, people realize, you know, people that smoke this, they're not going to do anything to anyone. They're not going to be violent. They're just going to sit on their couch, and if they're violent to anything, it's to a bag of Cheetos. The thing is that people realize that the way law enforcement treats substances is way over the top. And you know what? I'm gonna kill you for your own safety and your own protection because you had drugs.
That's the attitude, man.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm gonna kill you before you can kill yourself on these drugs. That is
what they said. But I'd say it's definitely good that shit, I just lost it. Sassy, you go.
Get those cliff notes out.
So, guys, I don't want to interrupt your train of thought too much, but since I jumped in a little bit late here, have you given, like, a start to finish, like, the planning to you guys getting out of jail, recap of the events, or no?
I guess we have a recap, but we asked them like what happened, what they thought, that kind of stuff.
I mean, if you want to go back to the start of things, it would start where we were standing outside of Salon Alamode with our guns and plate carriers and stuff, because she was under threat from the city that they would come and arrest her for opening up her business for trying to live.
Okay, so you specifically, you were at the salon, and then were some of you guys at the outside the Odessa place, right?
So I specifically was at the salon, and then I was traveling all over Texas, supporting small businesses opening up, standing in front of them with rifles the way we did at the Big Daddy Zane's. I had known O'Brien from a small group of friends, actually through Libertarian Renegade. We met in that group chat, and we had been staying in a small group of like 10 to 15 guys talking. And I said, hey, I know you guys live out in West Texas. If anybody wants to come join me at Big Daddy Zane's, you know, that'd be great. We'd be good to meet. And O'Brien was the only one that said, hey, I'll join you. And he brought his friend Alex Danner. And I got to meet the both of them there. But before then, I had been doing this for the past 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so you've been doing it for a while. And then how did you find out about the one outside of Big Daddy? Was it like on a Facebook page, or did they reach out to you?
So that one was a little bit of both. So I have been traveling with this guy, Philip. You know, not following him, but he had been getting all these requests from businesses saying, hey, we need your help. We need your guys' help. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'll stand up for small businesses. It's not that Philip told me to go do something. It was, hey, there's this business that needs us, and I've got a big heart, so I'm going to stand up for others. So that's what we did. We went to the Badass Ice House down in Freeport, over close to Houston. And that was a success. Law enforcement never messed with us. We went to a bar. It was called The Basement in the downtown Fort Worth. Hung out there. That was fine. But other than that, we were at the salon for a good solid week. Without any trouble. Yeah, we were there every single day. I mean, if it wasn't me, it was someone else in our group out there standing, you know, making sure that the salon was washed over.
This is just to reference up. The businesses hit you guys up to like asking for support?
Yeah, they were mainly contacting Philip because, you know, the way he was acting and putting his face out there, he, you know, all over Facebook. So businesses were reaching out to him, or we would see events on Facebook pages like The Badass. We saw that as a Facebook event, and The Basement, we saw that as a Facebook event. So I guess actually the only really one that personally reached out to Philip was the one in Odessa, and I think they went to a tattoo shop right after that incident happened. But yeah, it was we were basically paying attention to Facebook pages and rallies and businesses saying that they're going to open on this date, and they want everybody there to support them. But you know, once we show up with our rifles and stuff, we get a lot of thank yous. We get a lot of, hey, man, I'm glad you guys are here doing the right thing, protecting us and protecting these businesses. So, we've had nothing but support.
So for all those stupid Wimberley worries out there who are like, oh, who's going to protect us if there's no military? These guys, literally.
Yeah. Voluntary patriots who are going to stand up for other people's rights. And that's what it is.
This is beautiful.
Defending yourself is very important, but you also have to remember that we're part of a community. Take care of your neighbors, take care of your neighborhood, and be kind. That's all it takes.
A good dynamic with your community is the basis of any anarcho commune, syndicate, town, city. So I agree completely.
Yeah.
I mean, before I found the Boogaloo or Liberty movement, I joined the National Guard. And I had some problems with it at first, and then I realized that I'm here on call to help my community. So I see no conflict of interest there, because I mean, you don't have to follow an unlawful order. So if one comes down, I'm safe. I'm not going to follow an unlawful order, and I'm going to be able to take care of my community in the best way possible. Like at the beginning of the Salon Alamode stuff, I couldn't go. I wouldn't have been able to go. I didn't have the means. But even if I had the means, I didn't have the time because I was on orders helping Amarillo with this COVID stuff. Like, I mean, it's easy to hate an establishment, but you need to get hate out of your head and start start directing all that energy towards actual tyrants and the people propagating this.
Oh yes, I was in the military too, and none of your little grunts or your airmen or them, they're not bad people. They've just been, you know, perverted into status means. That's it. Yeah. They're not bad people. I don't want to. This is why I'm a pacifist. This is why I'm an agorist. I don't want to kill cops. They're people. They just happen to sometimes. Well, some of them are fucking horrible humans, but
the problem I have with the law enforcement community is not so much all cops are bad. It's that when an unlawful order comes down or an immoral decision happens, they don't question it. Or if they do, they keep it to themselves. They will not go against each other because they feel that's all they have is each other. So I understand that, but it doesn't make it right.
And that's exactly it. And no, I'm like I was saying, just because I don't want to kill them, their establishments are illegitimate. I do not believe in it.
It comes from higher up where their decisions are. And they feel like that's all they have is each other. So, you know, if, you know, a cop does something and says, hey, man, I really need your help. I didn't mean to do this or whatever. Can you help me cover this up? You know, if you do this, I got your back. So it's they feel like they're forced into a position. But I don't see where they let their morality tell them what they're doing is wrong and they don't stop other officers. Like when we were all arrested in Odessa, not a single officer or state trooper called out the actions of everyone else or the sheriff. They pretty much all stood together. What's up, O'Brien? Even
looked away. Like there was a couple of state troopers that like I was walking in handcuffs, actually mostly being fucking like they were being rough for no damn reason. But there was a couple state troopers that I would look at them and they would look and then like they would get this pain look in their eye and they would look away. Just didn't question it.
Yep.
It's gang.
Because they knew that we don't fit the description of your typical criminal. You know, we're not, we have hurt nobody. Yeah, me neither, dude. That was the first time I've ever been to jail. And I will say it was actually a pretty good experience overall. The holding cell sucks. But, you know, once we got into population, man, it was like, dude, I could be here for a month for all I care. It was nice.
What's it like having... Oh, sorry.
No, I didn't.
Okay. What's it like having your gun in your hand and then having them barking orders at you and then having to make that call in the moment of whether or not you fight or...
It's tough. Hold out? It is a very tough decision because, sure, I could say I was scared or whatever, but, you know, like I said, there was the three guys next to me with no cover whatsoever. We had no plans for X-Bill because we weren't there for a fight. We were there to kind of show support. So when they came in barking orders, we had rifles. Yeah, we could have shot at them, but didn't. We had that control to know... to think in the moment and go, man, if I do this, it's going to fuck up a lot of lives. It's going to fuck up a lot of people. Not just our deaths, but the fact that our families and stuff, it would have caused so much pain and it wouldn't have had the coverage that it would have. It would have just been like shoot out with cops at a bar. That's as far as it would have gone. So,
like for the people that talk about our tactics were shit, our comms were shit. Yeah, if we were trying to fight, I would totally agree. We were not there for a fight.
Absolutely not. Now, from the moment on, we may plan better if we decide to do these sort of things because it looks like any sort of sheriff can just do whatever they want. They will arrest us, throw any charge they want against you. They will stack charges against you, make your bail as high as possible so that you're locked away in jail. And if you don't have money, you're stuck there. So, you know, further on, we may change up how we do things, and I hope everybody learns from this moment that you may get in a position where you're absolutely fucked. Thankfully, they didn't come around the corner shooting at us. If they did, there was no plan for that. So I will say to anybody that does these sort of things, make sure you always have a backup plan. Make sure you have comms. Make sure you have people doing recon. Those kind of things are important, and I will totally agree with that. OPSEC is important in those kind of things. That's just not what we were walking into. But anybody that does this, kind of have that in mind.
I find it very interesting that the deputy that was watching me with his M4 He had his gun on me with my hand. My hands were in the air for about a minute at this point, and his barrel was on my chest for about 45 seconds before he flipped his selector lever from fire back to safe.
Damn.
Yeah, they were shootout. They were ready. I mean, all of our rifles were on safe. I mean, some of them didn't even have a round in the chamber. Right. You know, but we never pointed our weapons at anyone. They just came around aiming at us, and like you said, their weapons were hot. They were ready to gun us down at a moment's notice, and not for their protection, but just because they were told to.
Because we weren't leaving around.
That fucking pigs that had their like barely their plinkers that could barely fit on them.
Oh my god. Okay. So there was a lot of cops there, which means there's a lot of opportunities, some whack ass shit. There was some okay, if you get issued a plate carrier, you should at least get like a 10-minute block of instruction of how to put it the fuck on. There was a dude who was so big. He had his cummerbund around his gut, and his actual plates were sticking up at an angle because he couldn't physically make that work.
It was
spectacular.
This is the enemy. Bunch of fat fucking retards.
Big retards. I want to get a tank and call it the free roaster.
Whoa. Hey, don't attack me like that, you fucking asshole.
It's all right. There's always room for improvement.
At least I know how to wear my fucking plates right.
You fucking No. Sassy, there's a difference between this guy and you. A big one, too.
Yeah,
So if you guys had the foresight to predict this exact situation, like what measures would you do to change how like the turnout? Like what all would you guys change?
I would have left my anti-state IR patch at home because they still have it and I want it back. I would have brought a cheaper gun and I would have done nothing else different.
So okay. Speaking of cheaper guns, I have been talking to people lately about making ditch rifles for events like that, where you know there's a chance it's going to get confiscated and you're not going to get it back.
Bring just a like YSD9 fucking and the fucking 3D printed ones.
Yeah, the FCC9.
Oh, I was going to say a 3D printed lower receiver and a fucking Peace Geek upper.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you still want to be able to rely on it in case you have to use it for self-defense. I agree with O'Brien in that aspect that everything we did was in the right moment. If it was a totally different situation, if we were say we're at a house or something or a compound or whatever, and we expect enemy forces are gonna come in, we would have set up comms, we would have set escape routes, we would have but for that exact moment, for that exact situation, just going out there supporting a bar, there's not really much else we would have done differently.
That's good.
I mean, especially seeing the amount of support that it gained for the community, I have no regrets.
Your guys' actions throughout the uppers and even like my libertarian group chat that I go shooting with, we've been talking about a ton of OPSEC and strategy. And tactics. We've been preparing not to like fight, but like just in case.
Yeah, because just in case you got to get away. I mean, you know, you never know what the situation is going to be, and that was a prime example of that.
Is there any scenario in which you guys walked away without getting arrested? Like more guys? Like what do you think you could have done to
without anybody dying? No.
Yeah,
I don't
think
that there was anything we could have done without the Ector County Sheriff's Department seeing an excuse to pull out their army toy, play soldier for a few hours, and have their fun.
I mean, the only way that we would have not gotten arrested is if we decided to ditch all of our weapons and put them inside the vehicles. But according to the definition the sheriff is using, vehicles or weapons in the vehicles were also illegal. So I don't know. He sounds like he was going to arrest us no matter what if we showed up to support this bar the way we were doing. Because one of the sheriffs said, oh, yeah, the way you were doing it in front of Anytime Fitness was fine, but the moment y'all walked into the bar, that's where it's not right. It's like, I don't know, man. You know, we didn't do anything different than we did at Anytime Fitness, so fuck you.
That's also worth noting that same day, earlier in the day, we had been at a different business in Odessa. Supporting them had zero problems.
Yeah, it was Anytime Fitness, and we were there for about an hour, And I want to say at 4:45, we got word that SWAT was forming up. So we were like, okay, we're going to go down to the bar then. We're going to support them still. We're not going to back down. We're not going to, you know, just pussy out and be like, oh, SWAT's right. going to show up. Let's not go there. We all made the decision to still show up. And that's where we met the two guys, Jesse Simrad and I can't remember his name, but because I wasn't in the holding tank with him. O'Brien, do you remember the two oil field workers? Danner? No? Okay, cool. By the way, other guy that was with Jesse Simrad.
The other good looking fellow.
Yeah, oh yeah, the two stubbly looking Chads. You know, they brought their rifles, they were kitted out, they're probably wearing like a Cry Precision shirt, whatever. Like these guys were there to party too. So the thing is that we all still knew what was we knew police were going to show up. We knew police were going to give us troubles. We didn't know they were there to immediately arrest us, no questions asked. But the point is that we knew there was bad outcomes ahead, and we still showed up. We still stood our ground as best as we could. And, you know, like Philip, he was the main guy, like, you know, leading us around or whatever you could say. He put his rifle up in the truck, and he was doing a recording. He was talking with a news person because his excuse for putting up the weapon was he was going to actually be on the bar premises talking to people, making videos. And it was like, all right, I get that. So the six of us, we still stood our ground. We were there. I don't know where I'm trying to go with that. But the point is, we all knew that there was bad outcomes coming, and we stood together. And we kind of thumbed our nose at the sheriff's department.
Just because they're gearing up with an MRAP, which is a mine resistant ambush protected vehicle, and I don't know what the fuck mines they're going to run into in Odessa, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just because they're doing that doesn't mean we're not going to support the business that we came there to support. Yeah.
You know, we're not going to back down and say, oh, let's not show up, guys. Yeah, we were there for a reason. We drove 5 hours, 3 hours away just to come support some completely random strangers. So that's what we do.
Food on their table.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys stood stoic in the face of adversity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you, for real. Seriously, that takes big balls.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to get off here, but I have one question before I leave. Glock 19 or Glock 17?
I would do the Glock 19 if I'm concealing, but if I'm going full kit, Glock 17, why not?
Yeah,
I'm going
full kit. I'm
going with the P320.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Converted into a Flux PDW. Yeah.
I do like the P320s. All right.
I was going to say... maybe you should stay away from Glocks and go fucking SIG 320 or like a P07 or P10 or something like that.
Yeah,
P07's a good fucking gun.
Hey, I didn't carry a Glock on me that day. I had my Smith & Wesson M&P Compact 2.0.
That was a smart idea because you ain't getting that shit back.
Oh, it was nice having a chat with you boys, but I'm going to get off here.
Really? All right, thanks for talking.
All right.
All right, I still have not gotten word from the e-militia. O'Brien, you said you were talking to someone in there. Have they said anything to you?
Let me check. Nope.
Yeah, yeah, so, I mean, I DM'd Resurrecting Freedom. I said, all right, how are we doing this on a Discord or something? And I got nothing. Man.
This seems like a pretty badass podcast, so I fuck with it.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm letting you guys know we can stick around a little longer.
Yeah,
I've got kind of a... I wouldn't call it a leading question, but so, I've been hearing some shit about Philip lately. Mainly, had like several people message me telling me that he's being blacklisted and to cut ties with him. Is there anything that just raised suspicions for you guys with him? Because, I mean, I haven't actually met the guy, and you guys have, so I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
I don't know what O'Brien or Danner's thoughts on him are, because they only met him that day. But... I've been running around with him for 2 weeks. My family has had their suspicions on them even, you know, because they keep up with the lives, keep up with what I'm doing. And, you know, for all his faults he has, I will say at least he stayed in Odessa until everybody was bailed out. He got himself a hotel, made sure that everybody was out. He contacted the owner of Anytime Fitness, had them bail one of the guys out. you know, made sure everybody was bailed out. I'll give him that. But that doesn't excuse the faults that he does have. It does look like he's doing it for some sort of attention or clout, that you would say. All he has is that rifle. He doesn't have any other gear. One of our guys actually had to give him a chest rig, and I think even then I got abandoned or considered abandoned property at the time. So who knows what happened with that.
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to go in a couple minutes, so I'm going to get my final stuff out.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I promised somebody, well, it wasn't really a promise, but he's a real G, so my infrared cornerstone anti-state patch that I had on my Pharaoh Concept chest rig got confiscated with the rest of it. And I was talking to the guy who runs anti-state. He's going to send me a new one, just outright.
That's badass.
I was going to say, if you hadn't contacted him yet, I'm pretty sure he would send you a new one.
Easily.
If you haven't fucked with anti-state, he's a fucking G.
Me and him go back.
I like those model picks he's got going on, that's for sure.
As far as my thoughts on Philip,
you know what's funny is I did a photo shoot for him, and he never posted the pictures I sent him.
Sorry, yeah. Trigicon's got that sexy beard, man.
You guys want to see it?
What else was going on that day?
As far as my thoughts on Philip goes, I haven't known him long. I will say I appreciate him staying in Odessa until we were all out.
Yeah.
It seems to me like he definitely has an agenda, and I'm not 100% confident that if I don't fit that agenda, then shit would go well for me. Personally, I'm going to distance myself slightly, but I don't want to throw shade on anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been keeping my eye on him, and I've kind of been trying to advise him sort of things. Like he says things like, oh, you know, if you're going to get on this rally, you better have a rifle or don't even show up at all. And I'm like, look, dude, other people have their purpose too. You know, if you got to sign a camera, megaphone, whatever, you don't have to have a rifle. We need as many unarmed people as we do armed people. So, you know, I think he kind of took that to heart.
Hey, guys, I appreciate y'all. I have to go. Thank you for your time.
All right. Send me a text if E-Militia gets it going.
Will do. Later, guy.
All right, see ya. All right. Well, that was O'Brien. I see Alex is still here. I don't know if he's going
to
stick around or not. So, regarding Philip, I've had a lot of people warn me about him by the way he acts. They don't think everything is 100% copacetic. So, I get it. So just do like you would with every other stranger. Don't take everything they say 100%. Take everything they say with a grain of salt. And don't blindly follow anybody. What I've been doing is I saw that the businesses were needed. I saw that they were crewing up together, and I was like, all right, I'll tag along. And I'll show that support. So I don't want to completely demonize him. If he's very serious about the movement, he'll see the errors of his ways and he'll come around. And but he has put himself in a position where people claim he's the leader or claim he's the main PR guy. That's just a position that either has fallen onto his shoulders or he's gone up and grabbed. I don't know. I can't 100% give any advice about him other than if you talk to him or you meet him or see him at a rally or whatever, treat him like you would every other person. You know, he's going to do what he's going to do, just like everybody else will. Don't let anyone tell you what to do or how to do things.
Oh, of course.
You're your own person.
So you said that you guys had to you said you had to give him that chest rig?
Yes. So
I'm assuming that rifle that he's always seen with the can on it, I'm assuming that's his rifle, not one of your guys's.
Right, that is his rifle. And it's not a can, it's one of those fake barrel shrouds, but yes.
Just so I'm not as lost as I was about 5 seconds ago, who the fuck are you guys talking about?
He goes by Big Igloo Fitness or the Physique guy. Yeah, that guy, yeah. So okay. Does everything add up now?
Yeah. You guys didn't. I never heard you guys say a name, and I was just like, "Who the fuck are you guys throwing shade
at?" His name is Philip.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Continue. So, yeah, that threw me off too when I first heard his name. I was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Who the fuck's this Philip?
About to Philip these nuts. Anyway, so I definitely don't consider him my leader by any shape or form. It was just more so he was doing an effort of gathering people, of trying to spread word. I know he's been talking with Allegheny Rescue Company, and I know even they have their own faults too. My initial concern actually goes back to Juan Alamode, where he would put out SOS or "We need people here immediately. Drop what you're doing. Get over here right now." And that raised a concern for me. It almost seemed like a boy cries wolf kind of situation. Because there was one very specific incident at the salon where we were all in Fort Worth. We were parading around downtown Fort Worth in the back of pickup trucks, having a good time. That was cool. And we got word from a guy that was by himself at the salon, say that about 10 cop cars showed up in the parking lot all of a sudden in force, blocking the entrances and exits, and he was freaking out. He was scared. So we were already on our way up to the salon at that point. We're on there, we're hauling ass, we're on our way there, and all we had was that phone call from the guys say that cops were there and that they were probably going to go and arrest Shelly or him or whatever. We didn't know the full story, and that was my concern, is we didn't even have proof. We just had word from one single person at the time. Cops were everywhere. So he gets on his Instagram Live, Facebook Live, says, "We need everybody at the salon. You know, drop what you're doing." I even had some of my guys, my group, they're like, "Okay, yeah, we'll be there. You know, I'm 15 minutes out." They're heading out there. And by the time everybody gets there, cops are gone. Cops are nowhere to be seen. So that kind of put a lot of doubt in heads. But eventually it got out that one of the business owners, I believe violin shop in that same strip mall, had made a claim that there was an active shooter. So, of course, cops are going to show up the way they're going to show up, and they're going to, you know, try and cut off the area and search it and everything. So it's just those kind of things that, you know, he will take the slightest bit of information of, "Oh, shit, I'm in danger," and blow it out of proportion. It kind of leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, and I try to warn him about that, but he will take... he will take it from 0 to 100 every time.
So I tried to message him when I heard about the Dallas shit with the cops and how they took off. I tried to tell him, like, "Look, I think they might be trying to bait you guys and test your response." And, you know, I kind of gave him like a little bit of a gist. And then he just like went, his response was, "But the cops were there." And I was like,
You didn't say they were there or not, but. And that was a concern some of my interior guys have said too, is that they could have just been trying to see what your QRF type response would be, the way y'all would assemble, what actions you took, and maybe they were watching from like the parking garage at a distance away or something. So one of my guys actually showed up. He stayed in his truck all night during that whole thing, just kind of watching to see if other police would show up, if they would swarm the place once we finally showed up. And, thankfully nothing else happened. It was just that false active shooter response. But I can totally see where you're going with that. So still be careful. Still be skeptical.
And you guys weren't alone out there. There were some people I knew who were out there. They just weren't in the spotlight. They were kind of just observing.
That's what I was saying. I know a guy that was sitting in a truck just watching everything, because I talk with Texas Defense Network, if you talk to him, I'm in a group with them, and he had one of his guys out there. Eventually at the end of the night, I approached him, said, "Hey, what's up? Everything is fine. You're good." So yeah, we were we were still being looked after that night, and I appreciate those guys for that effort.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah.
So what can the community do to help you guys out?
What can the community do to help us out?
Yeah, like, how are you guys doing self-defense?
And like, so, you know,
on the legal
what
side
I,
of things, right?
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, is the legal aspect. Trying to find the right lawyer that's going to take this case. And our goal as a group, we're probably going to have to find individual lawyers. But as a group, we have the same intention, that we need to get these charges dropped because they are illegal charges. So either get them dropped, and if the county, if like the judge is just as corrupt as the sheriffs are, they probably won't drop the charges. They will try to put us in court and try to make us fight it as hard as possible. So we'll have to go prove our innocence, because in America, obviously, you are guilty until proven innocent. So we need to go prove our innocence. So after that, there has been a lot of talk from the community. Hey, you guys need to sue these people, because if you don't sue, if you don't collect some sort of monetary gain from it, or if you don't, you know, at least like show that they did something wrong, they will never learn from the situation, and nothing will change. And this will just fizzle out, and everybody will forget this. So our goal is that we will all be proven innocent, and then we will turn around and sue, whether we have to do it as a group or individually. But various rights were trampled. We were there assembling peacefully. That is our First Amendment. And they came and stopped us. We were there and we had our firearms to protect us, so using our second to protect the first. And they took that away from us. They started searching mobile homes that were next to the area without warrants, from what I heard. You know, maybe there's an exclusive situation that because there was a threat, they can go in and not use warrants to get on the property or anything. But from what I heard, they had no warrants for the property. They had no warrants for the private property or the bar or anything. They just showed up because they knew that we were going to be there. The bar owner explicitly told them that she was going to open up and there were going to be guys with guns protecting her. And they didn't like that. They did not take kindly to the fact that there were people ready to stand up for themselves and people ready to stand up for others. Especially that we were from Dallas. You know, we're not from that town. So it's like the sheriff's pride was hurt. So of course he used every little bit of force he could.
Of course his pride is hurt, because we're protecting his people that he's supposed to.
Exactly. Aren't they supposed to be the peace officers? And yeah. Absolutely. The sheriff should not be worried about arresting somebody for opening their business. And he talks about either in his press conference or before that, I have no problem with the Second Amendment. I would never follow orders to take away guns. And like, what did you just do, though? You took away law-abiding citizens' weapons because you thought that for some reason that either you thought they were breaking a law or they threatened your position as a sheriff or whatever his idea was. But he proved damn well that if he was given the order to take away weapons or do anything unconstitutional, he wouldn't think twice about it. He'd be like, all right, cool. He's going to show that he still owns the town. So.
Great time.
That is an explicit definition of tyranny, that he will do whatever he can to make sure he still holds power in that town and that his authority is not usurped by any means.
You need to respect my authority.
Yeah, he was pretty much an adult Cartman, you know, size and personality together. So
was I the only one who thought he looks like that guy from the diabetes commercials?
Oh, a lot of people. A lot of Grimley. People have edited him over that.
Diabetes.
Yeah,
sure.
Diabetes.
What was it, Walter Bradley or Wilford Bradley Wilford or something Grimley. Like that?
Wilford something.
Yeah.
His name is Wilford Apple Pop. Grimley. He has a legendary mustache.
Absolutely.
It is.
So,
a loved one's got
astonishing mustache.
So another, proof of the fact that he will not let his authority be, questioned is the fact that he arrested that guy outside the bar for simply asking the officers, what are y'all doing? why are you doing this? He questioned.
In the peace officer, I don't know, whatever they do, the set of rules they have, under that specific section, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it is stated that speech is not a form of impediment.
Right. Exactly. He did not get in the officer's way. He did not touch an officer. He simply dared question the officer's actions. And they threw him in handcuffs, put him in jail, and charged him with interfering with officer duties or impeding them. And that's not right either. Yeah. So.
Just shows that I don't know.
What these sheriffs are doing. They are going around doing whatever they want with no checks and balances.
It is a joke and a stereotype, but to an extent, it's starting to seem that a lot of cops are the guys that got bullied in high school, and now they're getting that revenge on literally everybody else. You question their power, their authority, they throw you in jail for it. Apparently.
Because they are above the law in their eyes.
Right.
They are the law.
They are the law, so they have to be above them.
They're right. Rob a bank. They're your fucking highway brigadier.
Road pirates.
Road pirates. Cops.
Absolutely. You know, and the thing is that I've tried reaching out to big pages like Donut Operator or Mr. Guns and Gear and, you know, things like that. I've tried reaching out and say, hey, you know, what's your opinion on the Odessa situation? I haven't had a response. I mean, sure, I could guess they never checked their DMs, but point is, I haven't seen, you know, Donut Operator. I haven't seen him cover the situation. I know damn well he's probably seen it. I haven't seen Mike the Cop talk about it.
And you have to realize, especially with like Donut Operator and a lot of people like that, they try to distance themselves from political issues because that's a good way to start a flame war.
But this isn't a political issue, is it? This is people
would be close enough that it would start a flame war, and he might be trying to distance himself from that so that
I get that he's got a still base. He's got his, you know, business and stuff like that. So it's his right to not talk about us. But, you know, you would think that he would still, I don't know, mention it or something. I know damn well I saw on his Instagram page, he made a comment about the, the treadmill GoFundMe. He laughed at that. He thought that was funny. So, you know, he could have our support on the behind the scenes, but. It would be nice to know if these big pages are, you know, because I know it got national attention. I know Fox News heard about it, but, you know, Tucker Carlson hasn't talked about it. And it's not that I'm begging for the attention. It's just people need to know, you know, this is the way cops are going to act if you so much question or stand up to them. And people need to know that.
Yeah, people are always concerned about. Like without government, like what if warlords take over? Like this is what that would look like, you know?
They are the warlords.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the fucking landlord that stole your land and said, now you gotta pay to be on it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's people with guns and fucking tanks showing up to peaceful people and throwing them in cages and taking their rights to self-defense and threatening.
I've said this a lot, but
it's just horrible.
One of my favorite Facebook posts that I've seen out of this was everybody just got done watching Waco and started questioning, man, how can the police do this? And now you see an MRAP roll up on a bar. Now do you understand?
Yeah.
That's the police have always been like that since the 80s.
My gripe about Waco is that the fucking miniseries wasn't even 100% accurate. They kind of
it definitely wasn't. They left out
people and didn't care.
Yeah. They left out a lot of details about that. The FBI agents fucking crying over the kids and stuff, and then they go and take pictures in front of them.
They kind of took trophy pictures. They weren't really crying.
With smoldering bodies in the backgrounds of those FBI.
Yeah. That's pretty much sums up the police state, is that they will do whatever they want, and if you question them, they will you know, shut you down and lock you up for it and make your life a living hell.
And if you try and defend yourself from people trying to kill you or put you in a cage, you will be endlessly hunted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Odessa, guys, I'm going to call you that because I don't remember all your names. But
sorry. If you that's quick, kind of become our legacy.
Yeah, if you want to look in the chat real quick, I posted a clip from a news article that is dealing with something that's somewhat local to me.
Yeah.
If you want to quick give that a read, Soika is the sheriff, and Schiffler is the bar owner. So if that gives you any, I don't know, background of what's going on. For those of you that are listening and not reading that, it says that the sheriff is going to enforce what they've been doing so far, which has pretty much been any complaint that they get, they'll show up. But if nobody complains, they won't show up. So
is this before or after Governor Abbott's rule that nobody will get arrested for opening a business?
So this
he does
is
not in, live this in Texas.
This is in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I don't care enough to see what our governor has to say about that. But if I remember correctly, this is... The current situation is that we're still in a state lockdown, essentially. Bars are closed, but what Schiffler has said is that tough shit. I'm going to be opening up my bar on May 18th. Deal with it. Patrons are going to show up because we can only do takeout for so long and make so much money on that before we can't survive anymore. So I think that's more or less the background. What is your guys' opinion on that, or thoughts, or is that kind of similar to what you had going on down in Texas, or no?
You know, it's I can't say I've personally figured out if that's what they're doing, because I know the sheriffs or the Dallas Police Department, they were still giving citation after citation to Shelley Luther for having her business open. They would still give her $1,000 citation and say they would show up, they would have an inspector, and they would say, "Are you open?" She would answer honestly, "Yes, I am open." "Are you letting people in the building doing their hair?" "Yes, I am." And they'd be like, "All right, here is $1,000 citation." And you know, she'd be like, "Okay, cool." And that would be the end of it. You know, they wouldn't drag her away in handcuffs or anything like that. But they were still issuing tickets for someone being open, and regardless of someone was complaining or not, they still knew that they were open, so they were still showing up. They knew the situation. It was just they would do things officially, quote unquote. But they didn't. I don't think police have let their own thoughts get in the way of, man, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? They're still giving out tickets. They're still going after everyday citizens, trying to live their lives, trying to work, trying to focus on the career that they have built up their entire lives.
And I guess that's my concern of what might happen for us in Minnesota is that, yes, the sheriff said that he's only going to respond if somebody complains or if there's a citizen complaint about it. But at the same time,
what's to stop him from making up that, oh yeah, someone called me out here?
Or since now it's in the news, and so there was a news article written about it, who's to say that some Karen on May 18th doesn't call?
She's just going to randomly call. You
know, yeah, regardless of if she's actually there or not.
Right. You know, and hopefully that specific sheriff has some sort of integrity, because he says he hasn't issued any citations so far, and he's not specifically looking for anybody breaking rules.
Right.
Hopefully if he gets called out, his actions are he shows up, sees what's going on, sees that nothing is wrong, and leaves. Hopefully that is as far as it goes. If he decides to show up, issue citations, then I'm sorry. He is not doing his responsibilities as a sheriff, an elected position. And if he does anything negative like that, hopefully it'll bite him in the ass.
Right.
That's all I can really say.
That's kind of my thoughts on it, too.
Okay, cool.
Kind of verbatim of what I was thinking. I was like, awesome. It's realistically nothing we can do about it if, you know, somebody calls. Like, I will plan for being at least at one of his bar locations to be mm-hmm. present if something does happen, but it's
yeah, because this is a bar that's opening up. It's not just a salon. It's
right.
It's kind of like the situation we ran into.
Right. I think he has five or six bar locations in the okay. in the area. In the at least there's a couple of them in one county, and there's a couple in a different county. But
you're gonna show your support and give business to right. one of their locations. Yeah, that's honorable.
Yeah, because unless I. I decided to have a burger and not a drink, but I will be at least at one of them.
Yeah, right.
And I'll be there if, you know, if something does happen, I'll be there, you know, available for help and support more than just monetarily. So
that's awesome, man. I'm glad that our actions have, I'm not saying we directly inspired you, but I can definitely tell it's inspired others to get out there, help their community, realize where people are hurting and stand up for them. That means a lot to me, knowing that I've done something not only bigger than myself and my community, but across the nation, you know, bringing awareness to this whole situation. Whether or not there's COVID or not, hopefully it gets people to, you know, kind of look out for their community and be available, volunteer their time, make those sacrifices, just stand up for someone. Because I know if you're hurting and you're going to want to depend on something, you're going to want people to be there. So, you know, just getting out there and making those connections, that's how you build a community. That's how you get people that will have your back if you've got theirs. Because mm-hmm. the only reason one of our guys got bailed out is actually because we went to Anytime Fitness beforehand. We got to meet the owner, got to talk to him. And when he heard about what happened, he at least bailed one of our guys out. You know, it was just one of those kind of freak connection things that he saw what we were doing for people, so he did that for us.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's just, you know, a prime example of get out there, help out your community, make connections, and make sure you have each other's back, because you can't put yourself in a position where you're always dependent on the government, because that is how people get screwed. That is how communism happens. You need to make sure the community as a whole has each other's backs.
Yes. Yes. No, I advocate for no government support. Be self-sufficient. Or
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's my concern with the way this pandemic is going. They keep offering stimulus checks, exorbitant amounts in unemployment. They're basically encouraging people not to work, to only be dependent on the government. Oh, yeah, your business is shut down. It's not essential. Just ask us for help. Ask us for money, you know, instead of trying to support yourself on your own means. Forget your career. You are not a. And it's saddening to see that so many people are willing to just give up and, oh, I'll take this free money from the government. You got to be better than that.
It's always going to try to find the easiest route to survival. That's just the
absolutely. Problem. And I can't fault people for that. You know, I mean, yeah, I got the stimulus check. Yes, I spent it on bills and stuff. But if I could have voted to not take it, I definitely would have.
Yeah, no. That's what people have to recognize.
At the end of the day, the money showed up in my account, and I put it to good use.
Right. And I was just gonna comment on that, since you were kind of on the topic about the, you know, stimulus and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I got mine, and it. You would hear somebody who like knows my political leanings, and they'd say like, oh, if you know, why would you accept that money from the government? Aren't you, you know, anarchist libertarian? I was like, well, A, I paid taxes the last, I don't know how many years. So part of that's my money anyway,
right,
coming back to me.
Yeah.
So
it's that $1,200 doesn't even come close to how much we've paid in taxes over the past couple of years, or even last year alone.
Right. Right. So there's that. Yeah. So A, it's my money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
B, it's not going to do me any good to not use it.
Right.
Like, they already sent it to me. The check's going to cash. Mm-hmm. You know, it's already good. It's good. So yeah. I might as well use it to further my situation along anyway.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said,
noise.
Now I need to modify my range to be able to use the damn thing. Otherwise, I'm going to shoot 300 yards.
When we had that conversation about how you need to save money and stop buying guns.
I know, but I really wanted this one.
Just sell a few shotguns.
Anyway, yeah. So, since Big Daddy Trump's writing the check anyway, you might as well cash it and use it, okay? That's my
right
point. I mean, should I blew mine immediately.
Right, since most of us pay taxes, it's your money anyway. They're just giving it
back to you. I used it to get myself a 3D printer. So, make sure I'm not more dependent on the state, especially when it comes to...
You know, did you get Ender 3 or what?
Absolutely. I got the Ender 3.
My brother ordered one up, and he hasn't been printing anything subverting the state-wise. He's just been, like, testing it out, getting better at it. But it's he made a skull the other day, and that was pretty badass. So I'm excited to get to use it a lot more. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be making all kinds of stuff. I mean, I look around the house, I'm like, man, if I could just print this one part, you know. So I'm anticipating whenever that thing decides to finally ship.
Me and the local guys are going halfway on an Ender 5.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we're going to get pretty jiggy with this.
Awesome. I didn't even know that was a thing, to be quite honest with you. I just saw that the Ender 3 was the thing that everybody in, like, controlled up you and
I was saying, that's the control pew recommended one.
Yep. Just spend the $200 on getting yourself a 3D printer and make yourself some slight upgrades, and that's all you need for whatever you desire to print.
It's stupid fucking cheap, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's like $200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my brother got ours, or I say ours because I own half of it, but he got the one that we have for like $160.
That's awesome, dude.
Because it was on sale or something. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
I found a sale on a website. I don't even know how legit the website is, honestly, because it hasn't shipped yet, and I ordered it a few weeks ago. It's like when you Google search Ender 3 or Creality, it's like it's called Creality 3D Printer Shop or something like that. It's the first ad you'll get on Google, and they had it on sale for $189, no taxes or duties. So I was like, okay, cool. So I paid a flat $189, but it hasn't shipped yet. So we'll see how that goes.
It's actually quite amazing how stupid easy it is to use and run.
Oh yeah,
the Ender 5 is $330.
Wow. Okay, so that's not even that much more. Do you think the upgrades will be worth it?
I think the three over the five, the five over the three will be worth it, but all the little things you can do to it too, just to make it that much more easier.
That sounds solid.
Because, I mean, we'll print stupid shit like Aztec death whistles and shit with it too.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah, have you ever heard those Aztec death whistles? It's like...
I have one, now but I'm don't interested. Want to blow it because I'm going to scare the shit out of everyone in my house with it.
It screams. It's like screaming. Well,
mine is one of the handmade ones, too. It's not printed.
Okay.
Logan, you don't need a whistle to make that sound.
No, I just made this sound.
It sounds like multiple screams.
That's but like really, really, really loud.
I just sent a picture of mine. It's hella mean looking.
Oh, damn.
I found one on way off topic and do some live shopping. Found one on Amazon. It looks like it's made out of some sort of a skull. Yeah, $54.
I paid $50 for that one.
Yeah.
Worth.
This is the one I was going to buy, but they sold it before I could get it.
Dang.
That one's fucking intense looking.
Ah, it's made out of epoxy, but that's good. That's okay. yeah, that they look interesting. Now I might have to get one to...
Look it up. Look up what they sound like. It is really quite fucking horrifying.
I don't want to do that live.
I mean,
that is a dangerous idea.
Yeah. I would blow it if I knew I wasn't going to fucking torment everyone in the house right now.
And everybody listening on the podcast.
Oh yeah, we're still doing that, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's still a thing going on. Fuck.
Anyway, man. is there any more questions y'all want to know about what we've been doing? Or
You have satiated my needs. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just out there trying to progress the idea of liberty and trying to make sure that people realize that the freedoms that they are told they have, that this is America, land of the free, that you're a free citizen and everything like that. I feel like we've been conditioned to know that we have freedom, but we aren't treated like we have freedom. So we don't have the liberties and freedom that we're always told we have. It seems that our freedoms are increasingly becoming there was a picture I took with some guy at the Salon Alamode. He had a sign. I think it said, if it pleases the crown, can I open my business, or something to that extent.
That's a good one.
And that's just the way things have become. And it sucks. So hopefully using this kind of publicity that I've gotten, hopefully I can spread that message that people need to start looking at the big picture of things, looking that the way government has become, we are no longer free. We have to live in constant fear of the government. I mean, you see a police officer and you immediately, like, you know, you're like, oh man, you're checking everything. You're scared. You're like, oh, are they going to pull me over? Did I do something wrong? And that's not how it should be. Normal people should not be afraid of those that are supposed to protect the peace or are supposed to. That's the gist of things, is that get your liberties back. Go get your freedoms back in the most peaceful way possible, until you're back into a corner and you have nothing left.
Yeah, imagine how effective we'd be if every single one of us who holds these ideals actually went out and did what these guys did.
Oh my god.
Things are
and I will emphasize this till I'm blue in the face. You don't have to have a rifle to get out there and do what we're doing.
Right.
You don't.
The most popular weapon.
All you have to do.
Weapon you could have out there is a fucking camera.
I tell people that. I say, look, get out there. You know, you don't have to have a rifle. You don't have to have a pistol. As long as you're there, as you're a body, bring a sign, bring a camera, bring a megaphone. You know, bring your ideals and your support. That does way more for the community than most people even realize. If you're out there, you're talking to people, you're making friends, you're exchanging contacts, you're out there showing your support, that does way more than you realize. Yeah, we can all watch online, we can comment online, we can give likes and dislikes, but that doesn't mean shit if you don't have people in the street, people with boots on the ground, actually out there advocating for change. Find an issue in your community that a lot of people disagree with. Find something and get together. Just come up with a plan, come up with an issue, and hold rallies together. Create an event on Facebook. It can take anybody to do these sort of things. I haven't been organizing shit. I've just been simply showing up. That's all I've been doing. And look where it's gotten me. It took unfortunate situations, but you know, if Rosa Parks didn't stand her ground, if Martin Luther King didn't show up and start speaking, that change wouldn't have been made in that community. It takes like those kind of people.
It was like a less violent Boston massacre.
Yeah.
With us? This yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like yeah. I mean, thankfully you guys didn't die.
Yeah, thank God. That's the thing. It doesn't take rifles and guns to make change. It takes people getting out there. I don't want anybody to be discouraged because they don't have the most Gucci kit or the newest rifle, or, you know, bring you and whatever skills you have.
Exactly. It takes a whole long entourage.
A long sleeve shirt and a Kel-Tec on without a fling?
Yeah, Alex, that works. That's, you know, you were there. You were a part of us just like everyone else was. Yeah, you were still there. You're as big of this as everyone else is. I've just been, the only difference I've taken out of it is I've been trying to reach out to people. I've been trying to spread the word, trying to make sure I don't let the flame die out, sort of thing. I'm using this to springboard my opinion of liberty and let people know that they don't have it. No matter what you think, you may think you're free and you may think you have liberty, but yeah, that's just what it is.
I don't think liberty is an opinion. I think it's more of a just your human right.
It is exactly your right, and we don't have them. Yeah,
right.
Well, boys, I don't have anything left, and I have to go soon.
All right, man. That sounds about right. I know I can rant and ramble.
No, thank you, truly.
I'll listen to you.
All right. That sounds great, man. I appreciate that. You know, the only parting words I have is you know, shameless plug. My personal GoFundMe is in my Instagram page. It's just under something generic of Anthony Elder Bond, because my girlfriend set it up. But there is also the group GoFundMe. Matt looks like he says he'll be there in 10 minutes, so he's completely missed the party. But yeah, I have my GoFundMe because I am still searching for lawyers. I'm still trying to find a confident lawyer in specifically DFW area would be great, but you know, if you can help from a distance, cool. Someone that can kind of have our guys' backs, because what happened was wrong, and we need to show Odessa what they did was wrong, and we need to teach them a lesson. So that's all I have to say. My Instagram, I don't know if you'll put it in the description or not.
We will. Someone can get on that.
Yeah, it's Liberty Jedi 1776 underscores in between everything. So
O'Brien's is Big Igloo in the 806.
Yeah.
What about yours?
I have one, but it's not really one I post anything on. It's just another freedom fighter.
All right.
We're putting them in there. All those. These men need some publicity. More publicity, I should say.
Okay. And need support.
More of the right publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say I'm thankful for all the positive interactions that everybody has given me, and even from the mainstream media, they understand that we did nothing wrong, that it was a fucked up situation.
Well, you deserve it, and we're all here to support you. Support you, boys. We got your back.
I appreciate that. I can't thank that enough.
All right.
What the fuck was that?
Sorry, I was adjusting myself.
Sure. It just sounded like you splooged.
I mean, shit.
I said verbatim, I mean, the Buffalo's sassy said something about a shirt, and then I did the eyes and then a kissy face. So hopefully that goes over well.
I mean, shit, I might have to splooge. I mean, fuck, Anthony's the cutie in the mugshots.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
No, honestly, I will say Jesse Simrad, he is 36 years old, and he still looks great. So hopefully I'll look like that when I'm older. But,
we can all hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always. But anyway, anything else y'all guys want?
I'm good. Are we ready to sign
We've
off?
We've covered everything on my cliff notes.
I have no notes, so... I think you're good.
I just came in ready to share my story.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I got a question.
God damn it, Brian.
Well, hey, it ties into the series we're doing. All right, so calm your tits. The groups that you guys had organized, like your guys that you know, like you said before, like when your group, is that like, how'd you guys organize that? Was that like local guys you've known all your life, or people you work with that share the same ideologies, or what?
I met these guys at the Frisco rally for Open Texas. Okay. Because I had messaged a guy in my smaller group you know, ones that were organized on Instagram, and then we converted over to Telegram, things like that. But I messaged him about the rally and said, hey, who else is showing up in full kit? While a guy said, hey, I'll go. So I was like, cool. I don't want to be the only guy in full kit alone in the crowd full of people. So I show up, I meet with him, we walk to the crowd, and we see six other guys also in full kit, rifles and everything. So we're like, ah, our people. So fellow brethren. Yeah, so we go in, join them, stand side by side with them. Complete strangers, never met them before, but hey, you know, we're all looking the part. So we show up, stand shoulder to shoulder up until the rally was over. And then we all as a group walked back to our vehicles because it was like, hey, let's, you know, let's get each other's backs. And before we left, we traded, you know, Facebook information and contacts and stuff. And ever since from there on, I want to say a couple days after that, they said, hey, you know, we're going to go defend Shelly and what she's doing. And I was like, oh, count me in. So I take that hour drive and I get out there, and we've just been kind of sticking together ever since, simply because we realize there's a need in the community and we're welcomed for what we're doing, at least up until Odessa. But besides the point. Well, actually, we were still welcomed in Odessa. It was just the authority there didn't welcome.
Yeah.
Right. The cops didn't like you guys were there.
Yeah. I mean, every other citizen there, they thanked us. They couldn't show more support than what they did, and I appreciate everyone that helped out in our situation.
Yeah.
No, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So.
Yeah, and yeah. I will definitely continue even after the lockdown and even after the pandemic, I'm still gonna keep doing this kind of thing. I'm not stopping. I'm not gonna let everybody forget about the fact that there is government overreach and that there needs to be change in the community.
Applies to his principles.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Good shit. Good. I'm going to say right now, you guys are a lot better than I thought you guys were going to be.
Yeah. You'll know.
And I mean that with the most respect I can say.
Man, I'm just trying to stand up for everybody else is all.
Exactly.
What's the what's the quote from Barnyard? A good cow stands up for himself. A better cow stands up for udders.
Did you just quote fucking Barnyard?
That's where we end it. That's a good one. Good way to leave that.
Let's end it on that.
Yeah, we're ending that right fucking there.
I like that.
God, that was great. Oh, yeah. I was expecting that.
That was this was a great recording, in all honesty.
Yeah. And yeah, this Brian, was very
you gotta you gotta finish this shit
out. You gotta have a healthy amount of cringe.
So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna crank out the edit on this tomorrow, and then get it dropped right away Monday morning.
Yeah.
So that way we can get the word out for you guys, and that way it's still fresh in people's minds and whatnot. And that way they can, if they're going to.
Does anybody pay attention to Matt?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Matt's
stay away from me.
He's like the kid that missed the school bus.
Yeah.
Wait for me
to outro, please. He says, please. He's begging. He's
jump in. We just did the outro.
Faggot soup.
Oh my
god. What a loser. Oh man. But yeah, if you guys ever want me to get back on here and just talk some shit or whatever, I'm always available.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I shit. You know how to get a hold of me.
Are we gonna let Matt be the outro?
No.
He said let me say the thing about dicks, please.
Fucking get on.
Tell him I already said it.
The enormous horse dick weighs 10 pounds.
I love how he's able to.
The giant horse cock weighs 10 pounds. Yeah. Yep, now he's fucked.
Well, now you did say it. Now he's fucked.
Yep,
oh, you know what? I saw you comment that earlier.
Because that's our outro.
that's our fucking outro.
Oh, yeah, November Whiskey said the giant horse cock weighs 10 pounds. Hold on, let me do an eggplant emoji on that. All right, cool.
All right, cool. If you end it, I'll kill you.
All right, at that point, let's kill the recording.
Yeah, let's end it.
Right now. All right, cool.
All right, so Craig, fuck off.
Oh, he just joined. He literally just joined.
Hey, no.
What? Someone take Craig out. Someone take Craig out. Hurry before he says it.
No.
Hurry.
Craig,
hurry.
What's up? Take it's Craig me. Out. Hold on, I'm in this one. Promise. I planned this. I take credit for everything.
Oh, shit, what's Craig's commands? I forgot.
The giant horse cock weighs 11.